Okay, thank you for coming, especially because it's the last day. I would like to start off by thanking the organizers for the opportunity to present this work. On behalf of my co-authors, I'm going to be talking about the interest and willingness to use a long-acting injectable formulation of pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, in a cohort of young men who have sex with men that we did in New York City. Here's our disclosure slide, and we had no relationships to disclose. So this room might, a lot of you in this room might already know this information, but I'm just going to still start off with some background. In July 2012, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the use of the antiretroviral drug Truvada to be used once daily to prevent HIV infection in people who were HIV negative. This came on the back of a number of clinical trials presented in this slide. The slide is taken from AVAC. It pretty much summarizes a number of studies that have been done. But what should be most noted is the effect size. You can see that in certain studies, effectiveness of PrEP was as high as 75%. And in other studies, towards the bottom, there was no benefit at all. This is another slide taken from AVAC, and it shows a nice linear association between detectable drug levels and the effectiveness of the study. So once again, you can see that if there were detectable drug levels in the participants' system, they had a higher effectiveness of the study, and vice versa. Those who showed who had little to no drug detectable drug levels had little to no protection. So what is long-acting injectable PrEP? Long-acting injectable PrEP refers to antiretroviral drugs that are administered via an injection and can persist in the body for an extended period of time. There have been a number of studies that have recently shown, demonstrated 100% prevention efficacy in animal models. Also, the studies have shown that the pharmacokinetic profile of the drugs can persist in the body for at least 12 weeks. I think it's longer, but for now we're just going to say 12 weeks. Currently, there are two long-acting injectables in phase 2 safety and tolerability studies. Barring that there are no safety issues and that the injections remain tolerable, these agents will be moving to phase 3 human studies in 2016. But just because a product can show clinical efficacy and that it can be brought to market doesn't mean that people are going to want it. So our group decided to look to ask a group of target users, so people who are high risk for HIV, what they thought about a drug with such a profile. as Aaron Diamond is based in New York City, we decided to do our study in New York. The numbers I'm about to present to you and the figures are taken from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. In 2012, of all men who were diagnosed with HIV, 69% were men who had sex with men. And of the people who are living with HIV and AIDS, over a third are MSM. You can visually see the disease burden in the first figure. You can see the disease burden in the MSM population. But what you should also note is that Black and Hispanic men have the highest HIV diagnosis in New York. In this second figure, they looked at new HIV diagnosis among MSM by race, ethnicity, and age. According to the Department of Health, since 2009, of all men, of all MSM who were diagnosed with HIV, over half were young MSM, which meant that, and they considered young as younger than 30. So to that end, we decided to do this study. We looked at a cohort of young MSM in New York who were racially and ethnically diverse, and we wanted to explore their interest and willingness to use a long-acting injectable PrEP. We recruited 200 young MSM from the P18 cohort study. The P18 cohort study is an ongoing emerging adult study conducted by the Center for Health, Identity, Prevention, or Behavior and Prevention at New York University. We collected data through trained interviewers and a computer-based questionnaire. The trained interviewers introduced the study aims and the description of both daily oral and long-acting injectable PrEP. The descriptions also included potential side effects and the possibility of long-term health effects. Pain at the injection site was also mentioned for long-acting injectable PrEP. Also, we discussed the importance of of adherence to the drug for it to be effective. We had we looked at two outcomes, the willingness to use long-acting injectable PrEP, and we did this by asking the participants, would you be willing to take a shot if it could prevent HIV? Would you be willing to take a shot every 3 months if it could prevent HIV? And we also looked at preference for route of PrEP administration, and where we asked, if you had a choice, would you take a daily oral pill or take a shot every 3 months to prevent HIV infection? We also looked to see if there was any associations with these independent variables of demographics, behaviors, and concerns. So while we recruited 200 young MSM, three identified as heterosexual and self-reported that they had not had any sexual relationships with a man in the last 6 months. So we excluded them for the final analysis, and that limited our sample to 197. You can see that we had a really tight age cohort. The range was from 19 to 23, with our mean age was 21. Our population was racially, ethnically, and socioeconomically diverse. Overall, 72% were men of color. Perceived familial socioeconomic status was well distributed across income, with the highest proportion reporting lower income. Our population was highly educated. They mostly identified as gay. And then when we asked about insurance, almost 80% said they had some sort of insurance. And when we probed a little bit further, and I think this kind of shows the youth of our cohort, over 50% of them were still on their parents' insurance plan. In regards to sexual behavior, in the last 3 months, we had participants reported having more than two partners, or more than 50% reported having more than two partners, and more than a third reported having any condomless receptive anal intercourse. 26% reported having previously been diagnosed with a sexually transmitted infection. And when we asked about condom use, only 20% reported, or about 20% reported, always using a condom. As you can see, it looks like our partner, like, you know, this population here is not a population that has a lot of participants. But I believe the age of sexual debut was about 14 or 15. I can't remember properly. But you can see that, you know, they've only been having sex for about 5 or 6 years, and, you know, at this time, 26% of our participants had some sort of sexually transmitted infection. And the range of the number of partners, you know, you can see also that we had zero partners, and then we also had, I think, a couple participants who reported having 80 partners. So they were very busy in those 3 months. This is our outcomes. When we were looking at, you can see that more than 80% preferred our stated that they were willing to use long-acting injectable PrEP, and almost 80% preferred the injectable. So we saw a high interest in long-acting injectable PrEP, and that the injectable was the preferred mode of administration. So now I'm going to present some of the factors associated with this, but I'm going to start off. We were very excited, and when we got the data, we, you know, threw it into SAS, and then I had to come report to my boss, and I was like, I think SAS is broken, because nothing was significant. We saw that in our second outcome, really nothing was significant, so I'm just going to be reporting on our first outcome. So these are, when we looked at demographic factors associated with willingness to use long-acting injectable PrEP, we saw that some college or technical school was had higher odds of being willing to use long-acting injectable PrEP as compared to college, compared to people who reported having college degree or more. However, we did not see a linear trend across levels of education. There is some indication that sexual risk or sexual behavior may be more, they may be more willing to use long-acting injectable PrEP. We saw that people who reported having two or more partners in the last 3 months had a higher odds of being willing to use long-acting injectable PrEP, and that if you had been diagnosed with a previous sexually transmitted infection, that you were more willing to use. When we put it into a multivariable model, only education and number of partners remained significant, and this was at the 0.1 level. Here we present the information on concerns and interest in PrEP. We asked these questions to kind of better understand the decision-making process behind interest in PrEP. What we did was we grouped the concerns into four groups. We had health concerns, behavioral, stigma, and psychosocial behavioral concerns. We considered concerns voiced over 70% to be indicative of group-level concern. Overall, the highest proportion of participants voiced concern of PrEP regarding health. We saw that in each category, over 80% said that they were concerned with the side effects of PrEP, the long-term health effects of PrEP, or that it didn't provide enough protection against HIV. Interestingly to us, we found that there was a lot of, that PrEP was more, people were more interested in PrEP if it came with some sort of access and auxiliary services. We found that it was more attractive to participants. You can see that in each of these categories, and this is over 70%, were more interested if it came with some of these free services. Like, they didn't have to pay for PrEP. If they could get free HIV testing, they would be more interested in PrEP. If they had access to free sexual health care or monitoring while taking PrEP, and if they could, they would be more interested in PrEP if they could have access to one-on-one counseling and support around PrEP use. So in summary, we saw that a high percentage of participants expressed a willingness to use long-acting injectable PrEP, and this seems to be to hold constant across demographics and behavior, although there is some suggestion that people who reported having greater risk, sexual risk, may be more willing to use long-acting injectable PrEP. We saw that a high proportion of participants preferred the injectable over the current regimen. In regards to concerns, we saw that a high proportion of participants revealed some apprehension related to negative health effects on PrEP. This to us meant, or when we read about this, we felt that this pretty much shows that it's imperative that information on health effects is accurately captured from the ongoing clinical trials, and that the health effects are disseminated in ways that potential users may be able to use so that they can make decisions regarding PrEP use. As I mentioned, interestingly to us, we were very surprised at how participants expressed high interest in PrEP if it was accompanied by some sort of sexual health services. We think that this kind of suggests that PrEP may be better served if it's client-centered, and that it may be enhanced if it's coupled with health services, so that that PrEP would be delivered as a biomedical intervention. So the shot would be this biomedical intervention, and it would be packaged with psychobehavioral support such as testing and counseling. There are a number of limitations to our study that should be recognized. We saw the high proportion of participants who were really interested are willing to use long-acting, and also who were interested in the injectable. This may have limited our variability in our outcomes, and it could be the reason that we didn't have enough statistical power to detect any significant differences between our independent variables and our outcomes. Generalizability also might be an issue. We're not sure that the large willingness to use long-acting could be generalizable to MSM in New York or in the United States or elsewhere. While the racial profile of our cohort matched the young men who are seroconverting in New York, our population was highly educated, had been participating in a study for some time, so it's had some information about HIV strategies and more knowledge about HIV in general. These results might not be generalizable to the MSM population. Inherent in any instrument querying sexual behaviors, social desirability bias might be an issue, but we also feel that this didn't affect our results too much because the participants took the questionnaire privately on a computer, and the trainers or the interviewees from the P18 cohort are really awesome, and so we saw a level of trust and comfort that they felt with them. Lastly, we looked at willingness to use long-acting injectable PrEP, and so we understand that intent does not predict actual future behavior. But until long-acting injectable PrEP is available and actual uptake can be measured, a hypothetical willingness to use long-acting injectable PrEP is a useful measure to inform clinical development. So lastly, we just wanted to say that this is kind of the takeaway message, that while there still seems to be challenges in taking the daily oral pill, our study results bode well for the continued development of long-acting injectable PrEP, especially because it could circumvent some of the issues related to poor adherence. We also would like to say that we don't think long-acting injectable PrEP will replace daily oral PrEP, but it's just an addition to the HIV toolkit. I would like to end by acknowledging all the young men who participated in the study, and I would also like to thank my colleagues at Aaron Diamond AIDS Research Center and my colleagues at the Center for Health, Identity, Behavior, and Prevention Studies at NYU.